Father report by the Independent London Drug Commission goes and whether you favour legalising cannabis in the UK. At 11, the King in Canada effectively slams Donald Trump for threatening Canadian sovereignty, while at exactly the same time, Lord Mandelson, the UK's ambassador to the USA, was praising the American president. What is the best way to handle America's leader? But this hour, the police decision today to identify the suspect in yesterday's Liverpool atrocity as a white 53-year-old man may have headed off civil unrest in the city, but did it also set a dangerous precedent?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, a 53-year-old man is being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving after a car was driven into crowds in Liverpool. Police believe the vehicle followed an ambulance through a roadblock during Liverpool's Premier League title parade. Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims is from Merseyside Police.
As with many large events, with event organisers, we plan for all contingencies. And this included the implementation of road closures to protect pedestrians, and an armed policing presence was also in place throughout the day. There was no intelligence to suggest an incident of this nature would take place.
Dozens of people were treated for injuries, with 11 remaining in hospital in a stable condition. A 28-year-old man has appeared in court charged with attempted murder after a police officer was seriously hurt in a car crash. PC Christopher Miller was injured in Stoke Poges in Buckinghamshire last week. The King's given a speech at the opening of Canada's Parliament, warning the country is facing a critical moment at a time of unprecedented challenge. He also underlined how the new government there is determined to protect Canada's sovereignty. Prime Minister Mark Carney's delighted with the way it went.
It was a very successful visit, a good reminder of the strength of Canadian institutions. The speech from the throne, brilliantly delivered, I might add, by His Majesty. And you see the enthusiasm.
The Education Secretary has admitted that scrapping the two-child benefit cap isn't off the table, but Bridget Phillipson says the costs involved in reversing the limit means it isn't straightforward. Earlier, Nigel Farage revealed Reform UK would reverse its position by scrapping the cap, having previously supported it. Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philp has told LBC that the Conservatives are sticking by the policy they introduced.
Most people are struggling to make ends meet themselves. It's not fair to ask those people who are working hard paying taxes to subsidise other people who've chosen to have more children than they can afford to. That's just fundamentally unfair.
And Adidas says customers' personal information has been stolen in a cyber attack. The company says hackers stole mostly the contact information of those who've dealt with its customer service desk. In the city, the FTSE 100 closed up 60 points, 87.78. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.19. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night, showers lingering in central areas and a low of 2 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Daryl Jackson.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Simon Marks.
Well, good evening, everyone. I am in for Ben Kentish tonight, tomorrow, and on Thursday night. I'm with you until 1 a.m. And coming up after the midnight news, if you are interested in the future of the country's cannabis laws, we will have the first news about the conclusions of a new report that is designed to set the scene for a robust national conversation about the drug. We will kick literally that conversation off right here on LBC in the final hour of the programme tonight. After the news at 11, on the day that the King came to Canada's defence and, without naming Donald Trump, pushed back against him, Lord Mandelson, Britain's ambassador to the USA, was gushing about the US leader in a speech in Washington. On a day of two contrasting speeches, which one more accurately reflects your view of Donald Trump and of the way in which the UK should handle him? But first, police in Liverpool are continuing their investigation investigation into yesterday's incident. We've all seen the videos of that car ramming into crowds of people on the city's streets as they celebrated Liverpool's Premier League victory, and the efforts by police and members of the crowd to apprehend the driver of the vehicle. Today, as he was questioned about the incident, with 11 people still in hospital and rumours beginning to swirl about the nature of what took place, police in Liverpool did something very unusual. They disclosed that the suspect is not just a 53-year-old man, but they specifically made the public aware that he is a 53-year-old white man who comes from the West Derby area of Liverpool. Now, it is very apparent why the police did that. They wanted to damp down any possibility of a repeat of the Southport riots last summer, when social media disinformation about the killer of three little girls at a children's dance party sparked community fury. The police at the time were specifically told by the Crown Prosecution Service not to reveal information about Axel Rudakabana that could have defused those riots. He is not, as so many of the protesters believed, a Muslim. But the decision today specifically to note that the suspect in Liverpool is a white male surely creates a very unsettling precedent. Are the police going to do it every time now? And how will they avoid fueling suspicion if in the future they do not reveal the ethnic or religious background of suspects who are being investigated for acts of violence? Now, in the United States, where of course I more normally find myself, most authorities across the country routinely release details of the ethnic backgrounds of suspects, and indeed their mugshots are immediately released within hours of their arrests. But here, we've always danced a bit more carefully than that, only releasing information that will, under no circumstances, prejudice any trial that may eventually take place. Should we give all of that up, basically because of the Southport riots? Or are we surrendering to a society that is increasingly in the thrall of social media platforms that spread disinformation among communities that are willing to believe it? I think we might be crossing a Rubicon here, because if the police do not always now tell us the ethnic profile of a suspect, won't that just feed the conspiracy theorists and the disinformation rumour mill? Tell me what you think. 0345 6060 973 is the number to call, or you can send WhatsApp messages to that number. You can text 84850. You can ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. You can even hit me up on Blue Sky. If you're looking for me there, just search for Simon Marks and I should pop up in your feed. What do you think about this idea by the police today to reveal that the suspect in Liverpool is not just a 53-year-old man, he's a 53-year-old white male, clearly an effort to try and defuse any threat of a repeat of the awful Southport riots of last year. We're going to begin our coverage today with Liam Gotting, LBC's Northwest reporter, who has been working tirelessly on this story since events started to unfold around 6 o'clock yesterday evening. And Liam is on the line now live for us from Liverpool. Liam, what is the latest in the investigation into this incident, and what do we know about those who were injured and still hospitalised as a result?
Yes, good evening, Simon. Well, we've learned a few more details today about the circumstances of how this all really came to be. But first of all, we know that this 53-year-old man who was arrested at the scene yesterday is being questioned by Merseyside police, still being held by the police, but he's being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving, and driving while unfit through drugs. Now, a press conference was held today, led by Merseyside police's assistant chief constable Jenny Sims. She described yesterday's atmosphere as electric, but said that sadly the joy of the day dissipated. She sort of took us through the events that led up to the incident on Water Street. She described a robust traffic management plan that Merseyside police and the event organisers of yesterday's title parade came up with together and were implementing. And we learned that the current thinking, or the current belief of Merseyside police, is that the driver followed followed an ambulance onto Water Street after a roadblock was temporarily lifted to allow the ambulance through to deal with a medical emergency. Here's a little bit of the Assistant Chief Constable speaking today at the press conference.
It is believed the driver of the Ford Galaxy car involved was able to follow an ambulance onto Water Street after the roadblock was temporarily lifted so that the ambulance crew could attend to a member of the public who was having a suspected heart attack.
Well, Simon, the Assistant Chief Constable was very quick to reiterate that this is not being treated as terrorism and is believed to be an isolated incident. She also urged people not to speculate online or to spread misinformation on social media. She asked people not to share those videos that we've all seen circulating on social media as well. And earlier on at the police cordon, the Mayor of Liverpool, Steve Rotherham, criticised people who have been spreading misinformation online.
They were trying to stir up, you know, who might be responsible for it. And that's why I think the police acted not just appropriately, but very, very quickly to dampen that sort of speculation, because it was designed to inflame. It was designed to divide.
And Simon, we also got an update on the amount of people who were hospitalised as a result of this incident. Now, yesterday and into this morning, we were reporting that 27 people ended up in hospital. But today at that press conference, quite a jump, actually. We now know that 50 people in total were taken to hospital after the incident. 11 people still remain there. But the good news is that according to Merseyside Police, all of them are on the mend. They are all recovering well in hospital. And they concluded that press conference by saying the exact circumstances of the incident are still being investigated. They're now checking CCTV to discover the movements of that car before it supposedly followed an ambulance through a cordon. So we're waiting to find out a bit more information, hopefully, about that that we'll get in the coming days. But as for now, we know this 53-year-old man is being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving, and driving while unfit through drugs.
Liam Gotting, LBC's Northwest reporter, live for us tonight in Liverpool. Thanks very much indeed for that, Liam. Also joining us this evening is Adam Kelwick, the imam at the mosque in West Derby, which was targeted after the Southport riots, and who, as a result of that harrowing experience, has, I think, perhaps a unique perspective on this decision by police today, not just to name the suspect as a 53-year-old man, but to say that he was a white male in what appears to have been an effort to try and defuse any repeat of what took place in Southport last year. Adam Kelwick, thank you very much indeed for being on the programme tonight. Can I just ask for your reaction to that decision by police today? Do you think it was sensible? Do you think they headed off the prospect of more community violence?
Yeah, so I think the police found themselves in a very, very difficult position. And seeing what we saw after Southport, there is now a new context. And this context is one where we find ourselves being criticised regardless of what information is out there. So in this circumstance, we saw that the police did release the ethnic background of this attacker. Now, it's clear that was in a hope to try and calm things down. They're even being criticised for this now. So they were criticised in the Southport attack for not releasing information. They have been criticised in this attack now. But what I was at the parade with my friends and my family celebrating the Liverpool victory like thousands and thousands of other people. We were all shocked. Everybody's feeling that it could have been us involved in this. And before anything, we have to say thoughts and prayers for the people. I'm glad to hear this update tonight that people are recovering in hospitals. That's really, really good, because we want them to recover as soon as possible. I've been in touch with one of the chaplains in the hospital who's been dealing with the victims and those people who were injured. And it's absolutely heart-wrenching to see this. But unfortunately, what happened is, as soon as I left the parade, I attended the start in the Allerton area when the parade had just started. And then I had to take one of my guests out of Liverpool And so I was literally leaving Liverpool, and my phone was ringing constantly. Are you okay? Are you okay? Is everything all right? People were worried about me and my situation. So I went onto the internet and I went to check what has gone on. Everybody wanted to know what was going on. And so I went to X, formerly Twitter, and like many, many thousands of other people do, and you're plowing through all these different videos and trying to work out whether they're real, whether they're not real, what's going on. A lot of confusion was out there. And I was also horrified to see amongst these posts, accounts which were saying that he shouted Allahu Akbar, therefore it's an Islamic terrorist event, attack rather. Things like he was a Syrian refugee, he was given his British passport 5 years ago. Things like, we all know who's behind this. This is evil. We need to take our streets back. And all these calls to violence in a very, very similar fashion to what we saw when the Southport attack happened. We know what happened after the Southport attack. Our city centres were destroyed. Our libraries were burnt down. Our mosques were attacked. And I'm just thinking, here we go again. And so the fact that the police did release that information on this occasion, for me, it was very, very reassuring. But let's not beat around the bush. Should it matter the ethnicity of obviously what is a twisted individual who's plowing a car into thousands of innocent people? Should that matter? Should his religion matter? Okay, what if this guy was a Muslim? Does that mean now we have a permission and a white card to start randomly attacking mosques and blaming the Islamic community, who, by the way, always distance themselves from these distorted versions of Islam in the first place? So there are lots of things going on. I think releasing the information would have had an impact, and it has, in terms of calming things down. But what about the next attack? God forbid, we pray that we never see anything like this. But what about if the next attack is done by somebody who claims to be Muslim? Then what?
Well, that's exactly the issue, isn't it, Adam? And thank goodness that possible catastrophe was defused 24 hours ago. But having done this once, don't the police now have to do this every single time? Because if they don't, it's perfectly possible that people will start going, well, they haven't said it's a white male, so maybe it is a Muslim, and maybe that does foment more sectarian difficulty on the streets. There may, of course, be, in some cases of future acts of violence, real legal reasons, investigative reasons, why the police can't necessarily release the sort of information they released within the last few hours. But doesn't this cross the Rubicon and make the possibility of riots like the Southport riots more possible in future rather than less possible?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult. Is there a new principle which has been established here? If there is a new principle, then they need to stick to that principle. Let's not forget also, at the time of the tragic Southport stabbings, this horrible piece of work who committed them, he was actually a minor. And so I think that was important. Yeah, I think that was part of the reason why information or why we were told information couldn't be released. But then what you see in certain far-right, Islamophobic, racist circles is this whole conspiracy theory that it was all completely a cover-up. Even to this day, even after originally claiming that it was a Syrian migrant who came over on a boat, remember at the beginning of the Southport riots, that's what was being pushed out there. When it turned out he wasn't, there are still people out there who believe that even the Southport stabber, he was somehow a Muslim convert. They refer to this Al-Qaeda manual being found in his home, and therefore that being proof that he was an Islamic extremist, and he's still being protected by the police now. So unfortunately, I think it's very difficult to kind of reason with some people who are convinced of their narrative. And unfortunately, there are troublemakers out there. They're not bothered about the victims of Southport. They're not bothered about the people who were injured during this incident at the Liverpool parade. All they're bothered about is dragging whatever news they can into their sick and twisted agenda and use this as a means to cause more chaos
on our streets. And Adam, can I ask you, does it not make it makes no sense, surely, to take the action that the police took today, releasing information about the background of this suspect, without also engaging in some kind of action to stop platforms like X serving as the font of disinformation that you encountered and I encountered and everybody else who went on there yesterday encountered as they were trying to understand what was happening in Liverpool?
Yeah, I think everybody agrees now. When we see this online disinformation, sometimes it's coming from bots. These aren't even real people behind these accounts, these anonymous accounts from different countries, from different parts of the world. You know, I found an account which appeared to be Australian, and they were pushing this this agenda that this was an Indian perpetrator of the Liverpool car rammings, and you know, coming out with all these different lies, basically just trying to cause trouble in society. So this is a big issue. I don't envy the people who have to get the balance right between things like freedom of speech and protecting our communities. I think that's a very, very difficult job and a very difficult balance that they have to get. But we do know now, we've seen it in Southport, we've seen it at this attack in Liverpool, this incident in Liverpool. It is an issue, and people pushing disinformation, misinformation, lies online has the potential to be very, 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 very harmful. How that can be dealt with is an issue for the authorities. And as I said, I don't envy the task which they have ahead of them.
Adam Kelwick, thank you so much for being on the programme tonight. We thought you would have an interesting perspective on this, and indeed you did. Adam Kelwick is the imam at the mosque in West Derby, which was targeted after Southport. Now it's over to you. Do you think the police did the right thing today, or have we crossed a Rubicon? Call me, text me, all the usual numbers, or get Alexa to send a comment to LBC. The time is now 21 minutes past 10.
This is LBC.
Where would we be without the curiosity to explore?
It takes us to new places.
It even got us to the moon.
And now there's never been a better time to satisfy your curiosity about electric cars. With great offers on our award-winning range, including the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, available with £2,000 deposit contribution and 0% APR. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Ends 30th of June 25. Finance subject to status. Hyundai Motor UK Limited is a credit broker, not a lender. Terms apply.
Barclays Ready-Made Investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays Where Do I Begin Investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
Have you ever wondered what becoming a lotto millionaire sounds like?
You want to sit down? I can confirm that you have won £1 million indeed.
That's Terry finding out he'd won £1 million.
Yes, oh my God.
Lotto from the National Lottery. Will you be the next millionaire? Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Simon Marks on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Lots of calls and texts coming in and messages over Blue Sky. Loza has sent a message over Blue Sky saying that what the police did today is a very dangerous precedent. What happens when the next incident occurs? If this continues, they'll green light mobs to kick off when it is stated that an other is suspected, or to stand down if the suspect is not other. Let's go to the phone lines. Terry has called 0345 6060973. He is in Southgate tonight. Terry, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, sir. Great show. I think yes, it's a dangerous precedent, but I think that the floor now have been opened.
Oh, Terry, I think we lost you there for a bit. You think that the floodgates have been opened? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think that this, you know, basically now, if they don't mention the ethnicity or the background of the person, it's going to literally play into the hands of the, you know, two-tier policing scenario, you know, and that it's a, you know, media cover-up and stuff like that. So, yeah, they have to now.
And you think that they now should do it each and every time? But, of course, there are going to be moments...
Each and every time.
But there will be moments when they can't do it, because there will be investigative issues that inevitably occur, or there may be issues pertaining to the age of the suspect that would then be prejudicial at trial. I mean, the problem with all of this is that you could, by releasing some of this information, be reducing the prospect of securing a conviction at any trial for any incident of violence that has occurred.
Well, if that's the case, why did they so quickly put out that the guy's his age and his ethnicity? Why did they do that? If potentially now, all those poor people that are in hospital trying to recuperate, and God willing, they're all, you know, okay, I understand there were children involved as well. Why did they do that? If they know that fact, that it could affect a court hearing, why on earth would they put that out?
Yeah, well, because they will have presumably judged that in this case it was safe for them to put it out. I guess the question I am asking is whether we haven't perhaps inadvertently here crossed a Rubicon as a result of what they've done today. Because
we have, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, we have.
I think so,
but
too.
But again, I just think, you know, and again, you know, other situations that where, I mean, again, I don't know, I think the media's hands are tied a little bit with certain subjects, but, you know, this whole Keir Starmer thing about his attacks on his houses and his car by these models, you know, nothing's been said at all.
Mm. Terry,
why has that been swept under the carpet?
Yep.
I mean, will you be brave enough to talk about it?
I will certainly be happy to go and look into it. Terry in Southgate, thank you very much indeed for contributing to the programme tonight. Bernie has texted in to say within minutes of the incident in Liverpool, social media was lighting up with, oh, it's another one of them. The release of the racial identity, the ethnic identity, says Bernie today, cut this nastiness off at its knees. Yvonne has texted in to say, of the alleged British white man, more than a few British white men convert to Islam every week. So what does his nationality and colour have to do with it? Interesting question as well to be raising. Let's go back to the phone lines. Charlotte is in Guildford. Charlotte, good evening to you.
Hi, yes. The police or media, black person has done this or the other. I've never understood what that has to do with the crime. As you said, when the police investigate a case, you don't want any sort of prejudice. You know, you said that it would prejudice people against the person, the criminal. Well, if the white people are, you know, going to be prejudiced, so are the black people. I mean, what has skin colour got anything to do with it?
Well, I'm not saying that it would prejudice people against the suspect. I'm saying that by releasing the information, they have to be very... In anything that the police or the Crown Prosecution Service says about any case, they have to be extraordinarily careful to make sure that what they are saying is not subsequently going to reduce the possibility of securing a conviction at trial. So this is a balance they have to strike. Now, today, the balance they had to strike was, I think, they determined between releasing this information or not releasing it and running the risk of another Southport.
I understand that. I do understand that they had that issue to deal with, but I don't think in the first place that the skin colour should have been mentioned. Not, I don't mean just this time. I mean ever. Ever. Just a man. I mean, if a man robbed my house or killed, God forbid, someone in my family, I don't care what colour skin he's got. It's the crime he's done that I'm bothered about.
Right.
You know, I don't think if, you know, the news, when I listen to the news and I've heard a black man in his 30s has done X, Y, and Z, I think you never hear a white man, you know, you hear a man, you know, in his 30s. Right, that's the norm.
But the real risk in light of the Southport experience is that, unfortunately, we now live in an environment in which disinformation spreads like wildfire on social media. It seems very apparent that disinformation was spreading like wildfire yesterday on social media. It was the responsible thing to do, was it not?
Unfortunately, yes, I do agree with you.
I mean, you kind of had to do it because it's a terrible reflection of society's position.
Yes, it is. And I think that now that they've started to say, white woman, whatever, they're going to have to continue. And if they stop, then they should stop saying, it was a black man, it was a black woman.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think a Rubicon has absolutely been crossed. Charlotte, thank you very much indeed for sharing your views on all of this. Lots of you texting in. Andrew has texted in to say there will come a time when a perpetrator is not identifiable due to legal reasons. I don't think the police have thought this course of action through and have given the public the expectation that these details will always be released. And when they aren't, somebody will cry wolf. More of your calls and texts and messages on this coming up, but now with the time at exactly 10:30, the headlines come from Daryl Jackson.
Detectives in Liverpool have been given extra time to question a man on suspicion of attempted murder and drunk driving. It's after a car drove into pedestrians during last night's Premier League trophy parade, injuring 65 people. It's believed the car got through roadblocks by following an ambulance. A man's been charged with the attempted murder of a police officer in Buckinghamshire. PC Christopher Miller is in hospital with life-threatening injuries after a crash while on duty in Stoke Poges on Thursday. And the King says a relationship between Canada and the US rooted in mutual respect can deliver transformational benefits for both countries. Charles is only the second monarch to give an address at the state opening of Canada's Parliament. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night. Showers lingering in central areas and a low of 2 degrees.
LBC, Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Coming up tomorrow morning with Nick Ferrari at breakfast, after Nigel Farage launches a dramatic and costly bid to woo left-wing voters, do you trust the reform leader with the economy? In a fresh blow to motorists, the congestion charge is set to rise to £18. And should cannabis become a legalised drug? Nick will speak with the former Justice Secretary, Lord Falconer. All of that and more coming up with Nick Ferrari at breakfast tomorrow morning from 7 o'clock here on LBC.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Listen on your radio and on Global Player. LBC.
When you're transported somewhere you've never been. When you discover hidden gems and amazing sights. When you just can't wait to pack your bags.
It's just stunning.
We should definitely go there.
I'm already looking at flights.
Nice.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can enjoy a world of travel from the comfort of your sofa. Search TV licence together.
When you sail on a Saga cruise, you really can relax because so much is included. A choice of speciality restaurants? Included. A balcony with every cabin? Included. Wonderfully attentive staff? Included. Spotting a whale out at sea included. Realising the whale is actually just a wave included. Search Saga Boutique Cruises 2026 season on sale now. Experience is everything. T's and C's apply, over 50s only.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished, and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So, don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
This is LBC with Simon Marks. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
And we'll have more of your calls on how the police have handled the arrest of the suspect in Liverpool. Should they have identified him as a white male? And doesn't that set a dangerous precedent for future incidents. But in other news today, the International Monetary Fund says the UK economy is going to grow this year a little faster than they had previously projected. Their economists reckon that growth could reach 1.2% this year and 1.4% next year. And in music to the government's ears, they argue that an economic recovery is underway across the UK. But there is a caveat. They say the Chancellor must stick to her rules on taxes and expenditure. In other words, she needs to keep various cabinet ministers and union leaders at bay, even as they demand that she loosens the purse strings. For more on this, I am joined by Dr. Roger Giewoelb, a political and economic commentator who has previously advised the Bank of England and the UK Treasury. Dr. Giewoelb, thank you very much indeed for being on the programme tonight. This isn't unwelcome news for the government, is it?
Good evening. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's tiny figures that really matter only to economists. It's 0.5% worse than they thought it was going to be in October and January, and 0.1% better than this. They're not really figures that matter to you and me and what's in our pocket. I always enjoy the IMF, the International Monetary Fund's pronouncements. Sometimes they get it spot on, but the thing I really enjoyed about today's announcement is that they actually praised the Labour government for how brilliantly they are managing the country's finances for growth and the fiscal responsibility. Now, I don't know anyone outside of a cemetery that would have that opinion. It's just an absolute hoot.
So why do you think they're saying that?
I have no idea. Maybe they're drinking too much.
But, I mean, they are arguing that an economic recovery of some kind is underway. And we saw those output figures that were released, a week ago, 10 days ago, that were better than had been anticipated. Although, of course, I suppose the impact of President Trump's tariffs have yet to be fully felt.
Well, I just would like, you know, everybody in your studio to walk out into the street and ask people about the cost of living crisis and what their financial and economic life feels like today, and whether this country feels like it's poised for growth. Wealthy people and business leaders are leaving and have left in droves since 5th April to get out of here before the new tax year. And so many giant projects by big names that you and I, you know, would know very well, household names, have been canceled or moved to other countries. There are so many anti-growth measures this government has put in place. I just don't know how the IMF can say that. And as far as an economic recovery, I mean, there are some numbers that are looking better and some have proven here and there, but I sure don't feel like we're in the boom.
Do you think the IMF's got it wrong?
This time, yes, absolutely.
I mean, you think the figures are wrong, or you think the general description of what is taking place here is wrong?
The general description. I mean, there's been a 0.1% improvement. I don't think that merits standing on the roof and shouting about anything. And so then couple it with a statement that the government is managing the British economy well by balancing growth with financial stability. I certainly don't think we have financial stability with the massive amount of new debt looming for Rachel Reeves with all the crazy projects they're talking about. And everything this government has done so far in terms of tax, national insurance, and a half a dozen other things is completely anti-growth and anti-inward investment.
And can I ask you finally, you talked about sort of record numbers of wealthy people leaving the country, but it's not a one-way street, is it? Because I also see record numbers of Americans are now applying for permission to come to this country.
I think that's more to get into certain industries or certain property deals. It's more of a speculative thing, but I mean, the shocking thing is the number of people that I am told about or put in touch with who have left, people who have created large fortunes here and have left because of inheritance tax, the farm thing, and all the rest. I've never seen anything like it, and many of them have left on the spur of the moment, just deciding they had to go, and they were out of here before the 5th of April.
Dr. Giewoldt, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. Dr. Roger Giewoldt is a political and economic commentator who has previously advised the Bank of England and the UK Treasury. And as you heard there, he is throwing a bucket of cold water over what the IMF had to say today about growth and the British economy and economic recovery. We are going to go back to your calls and texts now on the topic we're discussing this hour, which is whether the police got it right today in Liverpool when they identified the suspect in yesterday's atrocity, not just as a 53-year-old man, but as a 53-year-old white man. Let's go to Michael, who has called in from Leeds tonight on 0345 6060973. Michael, what made you pick up the phone?
Yeah, what made me pick up the phone is when you said it was a Rubicon being crossed. Because I actually don't think it is. I think what's happened is we've seen the police sort of react because of what happened in Southport. They were criticised in Southport for not releasing the racial identity of the attacker, even in the most general form, because he was a minor. And they've kind of seen there's an opportunity here to quell rioting or something like that. But I think, and I don't want to trivialize this, but as a teenager, I'm black, by the way, and, for donkey's years, I've grown up in this kind of atmosphere that, just like your previous caller who said, if they don't mention the race, then you pretty much know it's a white person. When they do eventually mention a race and it comes up in Crime Stoppers or something, then you kind of know it would be, it's a black person or this and the other. Even back in the 90s, The Bill, do you remember that crime drama?
Yes, absolutely.
On ITV? IC1, I never knew about any of this. IC1, IC2, those are even, North European, South European. IC3, a black person, and so on. That was, it sounds quite groundbreaking for a police drama to go into that amount of detail. I was fortunate enough to work for the police as a support staffer for the Forensic Science Service. And we use the identity, the racial identity of the suspects and victims in what we do. And it's now that we're just opening it up to the public sort of thing. And but it's always been there. If we look back at all these the sort of big crime stories and things in the news, it always comes out in the wash. The problem being, the mass mobilization of people and almost whipping them up has now become a factor that the police have to consider when to release this information.
But Michael, you say you don't think they've crossed a Rubicon and they did this today in order to head off the risk of any repeat of Southport-style riots. Are you suggesting that they can just do this once? I mean, don't they now have to do this every single time?
I agree that they have to do this every single time. What I'm basically saying is they have been doing this,
right,
but they haven't been factoring in. Because to be honest, what I don't believe it's a Rubicon. What I do being crossed here, what I do believe it is where the higher ups in the Met Police and here the Merseyside Police decided that the risk is now too much for the public. The majority of the public will then go looking for people to take this out on, when it never used to factor as much in their thinking. That's what's happened. Now, if that's what you're calling the Rubicon, well, okay. But I think it's an operational tactic now.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying about it being a Rubicon is that if heaven forbid, there's another similar incident tomorrow on the streets of another British city, and a suspect is taken into custody, and disinformation or information, rumour, is spreading across social media about the background of that particular suspect. If the police don't directly address it by describing the suspect, aren't people reading all of that going to assume that the information, the rumour that they are reading, is accurate?
Yes, so it's which side of that, because it's like the liar's paradox, isn't it? It's going to be one or the other. I mean, the people who are screaming now about the fact it was released, the white British male, 53 years old, was released so soon, are the same people who were screaming that it wasn't released, it was the Southport...
Yes. And the police were told by the Crown Prosecution Service not to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is, whatever you do, those who are going to be contrarian, take a contrarian position, are going to do that anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, for instance, I think that what it's not been talked about so much, not necessarily on your program, but just generally on LBC and other platforms, about the fact that came back really quickly with the fact this wasn't terrorism. Mm. Now, that is what I think. Hang on here. How do you know? How much investigation have you done? Or is it because of his race that we just assume it's not terrorism?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
That is a really interesting question because, they would have had to have been... I mean, we now... I don't want to get into the case too much because obviously it's legally complicated to do that. But we were hearing from Liam Gotting that there is a suspicion that the suspect was driving while under the influence of drugs. And maybe that helped them reach that conclusion. We don't know. But this is why whatever they say in any particular incident has to be so carefully handled in order to protect the legal case that they may eventually mount. Michael, thank you so much for calling the programme. Very good to hear your viewpoint on all of this. We're going to continue our calls. Lots of texts and calls coming in on this topic. We'll continue talking about it all the way through until 11 o'clock. And 11 o'clock will be coming in about 14 minutes' time because the time is now coming up to 10:46.
LBC, this morning on Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
A confusion, a puzzle, a bewilderment of U-turns, but are there some more? Is there another one on the way?
Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson joining us. It is reported that pressure is mounting on the Prime Minister to scrap the two-child benefit limit. And the commentators who are saying that this is driven by Nigel Farage and some of his policies to try and attract Red Wall or Labour voters, how would you respond?
But Nigel Farage has never been on the side of working people. He opposes the measures that we are introducing that will help working people. For example, our employment rights bill that will give more people rights at work.
He doesn't agree with the two-child benefit cap, Secretary of State.
Well, he flip-flops on all of this. He's backed it in the past. And
doesn't your government flip-flop a bit?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Hi, I'm Sava, founder of Cool You. And when it comes to getting aircon into London's hot and stuffy apartments and listed buildings, I'm the daddy. For years, Cool You have supplied and installed fully internal aircon systems with no mess, no fuss, and no external condensers. So head to coolyou.london today. Cool You, for a cool, comfortable home.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working, offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year, mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
When you're sure you know the answer. When it's on the tip of your tongue. When you beat the buzzer and the contestant.
Get in the bag.
How did you know that?
Naturally brilliant, I guess.
Yeah, modest too.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can play along with all your favourite quiz shows. Search TV licence together.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyota-thon sale event is on. Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
Simon Marks on LBC. Text 84850.
And we can tell you what is featuring in tomorrow's newspapers now, because they have just arrived here at LBC headquarters. And as you would imagine, a number of the papers are featuring the situation in Liverpool on their front pages. The Independent say questions for police over car inside fan parade roadblock. The suspect is believed to have tailgated an ambulance after a robust security cordon was lifted so that paramedics could reach a heart attack patient. The Times also puts it on their front page. Liverpool parade suspect was drug driver tailgating ambulance. The Daily Mail and several other newspapers focus on some of the details about the investigation that we were hearing from our own Liam Gotting at the start of the programme. Parade driver, open quotes, high on drugs, close quotes, says the Daily Mail's front page headline. Very similar front page headline on The Express. Liverpool car attacker was, open quotes, high on drugs, closed quotes. The Express also reporting the driver is suspected of tailgating an ambulance to get through the roadblock. Metro also featuring the Liverpool suspect in its coverage on the front page. Other newspapers, though, looking at other issues. The iPaper leading in its Wednesday edition with Nigel Farage announcing a raft of new policies designed to peel away some Labour voters from the Labour Party. Farage policies would risk Truss mini-budget style market chaos, economists warn. We'll find out what Aggie Shumbray has to say about what Nigel Farage announced, our political reporter, a little bit later in the programme. The Guardian leads with ministers in standoff with Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor, over planned public services cuts. And it reflects the news we were just talking about from the IMF. It says the IMF suggests the Chancellor could refine fiscal rules to avoid slashing budgets. The Financial Times, along with many other papers, has pictures of the King in Canada on its front page. King's speech backing for Free Canada, says the headline in the FT. And the Daily Telegraph on its front page is leading with news that we can't actually report to you yet, because it won't be official until the stroke of midnight tonight. But it relates to possible changes in cannabis laws here in the UK that we will be talking about extensively as soon as Big Ben has chimed midnight. Let's go back to our calls and texts about whether the police were right to provide details of the ethnic background of the suspect in Liverpool. And let's go to Charlie, who is a first-time caller to LBC, calling in from Taunton in Somerset. Charlie, good evening.
Hi. Hello.
How are you? What would you like to say? What made you pick up the phone for the first time to LBC?
Well, so I'm mixed race myself. I listened to what you said, you know, sort of your opening statement, and I hadn't considered what you were saying. Mm. You know, my first response when I heard, oh, it was a white guy, 53 years old, was relief. because I was, oh, well, that means there's going to be no riots. And I just, that's all. Once you raised the point, actually, where are we going with this? I thought, hang on a minute, where are we going with this? So, yes, it's relief. Nobody's going to get hurt. But what is this about, and where are we going with it? Yeah, it's just happening a lot to think about.
Do you think, Charlie, that they thought this through? Or do you... Because some of our listeners are texting in to say that they think this was a considered decision and that the police accepted that they were kind of changing the rules of the game going forward. Now, I have no way of knowing whether Liverpool police would have been able to coordinate with other forces. Maybe there's been discussion about this behind the scenes in the months since Southport. But do you think this was a considered decision and a precedent-setting decision, or simply something that they thought they needed to do because they were seeing credible reports about the possibility of violence on the streets.
I think it's like a back foot thing. If we don't do this, we're going to have riots. I personally think it's that. Is it considered? I don't know, but is it considered? I don't know. I feel personally that it's like we need to say this. Otherwise, we're going to have riots, which means that the people rioting and that sort of thing, they've got the power. So it's like, I don't know, it feels a bit reactionary. Am I making sense?
Yeah, you are making absolute total sense. I mean, I also question, you know, how can you do this without simultaneously taking action to do something about the social media platforms that are spreading all of this disinformation?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And do you know what makes me so sad? And this is what, you know, I've got so much to think about. Was that my own, as a mixed race person, my first reaction was, thank goodness, it was a white person. You know, what is going on? You know, this is what is going around. This is what the mindset is. It's all being fed to us, isn't it? Even me as a mixed race person was glad, oh, it's a white person, because then that's not going to be any riot. Mm. Where are we going with this? It's quite scary, really, but it's all reactionary. So the people that are causing the violence, I'm in control. The people, you know, these people are in control.
It is a terribly sad reflection of where we have come to as a society. Charlie, thank you so much for picking up the phone for the first time from Taunton, calling LBC tonight. I hope we will talk to you again on another topic, hopefully a more upbeat topic next time you call in. But thanks so much for picking up the phone. Let's go to Tyler, who has done the same thing in Leeds. Good evening, Tyler.
Hey, Mr. Max, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. Just what a day for Liverpool. I mean, despite what happened, I think it's important to remember that there was so much joy throughout the day. Like, I remember watching it on the television, the community coming together, and there were a lot of joy there. And I just think it's absolutely horrible what happened for everyone involved. I think that there were a lot of online comment and analysis that were, you know, trying to stir the pot, and I think that the emergency services in particular actually acted very well and excellently in sort of having the press conferences on the day and sort of releasing the information, what they were doing, just sort of to help clarify things and then to fill the information gap. And I think the mayor in particular, the regional mayor, Steve Rotherham of Liverpool, has done a really good job today. He's been on various different platforms, sort of speaking about the city, bringing it together more. So credit to everyone in the northwest and Merseyside and Liverpool. And let's thank God that so far there's been no fatalities.
Yeah, and yeah. Tyler, I mean, I'm sure you would agree with me, but you can never overstate the strength and solidity of community in Liverpool. I remember in 1989, as the Hillsborough disaster unfolded, I was actually in Northern Ireland at the time reporting for ITV News, and got immediately told to get on a plane and head to Liverpool. And I then spent the subsequent 10 days reporting for News at 10 and the other ITV programmes from Anfield. And I will never forget the images, the way in which that community came together, the flower tributes that were laid across the pitch at Anfield that engulfed the Bill Shankly Gate. I mean, it had a searing impact on me as a young reporter to find a city absolutely coming together in the depths of tragedy as Liverpool did then.
There is no city in the world like Liverpool. Scousers come together, they know each other, they look after each other. And I think that was partly shown by how after the car stopped, you had crowds of brave police officers and Liverpudlians, men going to it to sort of try and act as a barrier, because they didn't know if it would have been something combustible or things like that. And it just shows the strength of feeling and protection and love that they have for each other. So I just hope everyone can, you know, let's give due diligence to the families. Let's ask the right questions that need to be asked, and then give respect to the authorities and civil authorities when they're releasing information in a timely manner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Tyler, thanks very much indeed for calling in. I'm going to squeeze one more call in this hour, and it is Louise in Bromley. Louise, I've only got about a minute, but I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking my call. I was just going to say, unfortunately, this is the life and the times. And stuff like that. I think it's always been the times in which we've lived in. But it's like we take away people's humanity from, labeling with ethnicity or colour or pigmentation. And the actual fact is, simply, everyone has melanin, pigmented melanin. And we want to box them or ascertain what type of person they are based on what's on their skin. Mm. And it comes from a discomfort of crimes and atrocities committed through history, and we project it onto these ethnic minorities, as we label them, to make white people comfortable.
Well, and now, of course, that's the truth. Yeah, and now, of course, it also comes from a fear of what might happen if you don't put this information out there. Louise, thank you very much indeed for calling in. Glad we managed to get to you and for wrapping up our hour on that particular topic. I'm sure we will be talking about it again here on LBC. Into our next hour we go, and we are going to talk about Donald Trump, because the King was certainly talking about him today without naming him, delivering a speech at the opening of Parliament in Ottawa that made it absolutely clear that the American president should abandon his efforts to persuade Canada to become America's 51st state. But at the very moment His Majesty was speaking in Ottawa, Lord Mandelson was talking in Washington.
I credit President Trump's acute political instincts.
That speech in Washington gushed about the American president and those acute political instincts of his. So on a day of two contrasting speeches, can we really continue walking the line over Trump? Or at some point, are we not going to have to make a choice about being with him or against him?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, detectives believe the car that drove into crowds at Liverpool Football Club's parade yesterday.